This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Mohan Ramakrishnan, labor and industrial relations lawyer, on the requirements of testing for employees returning to work. We've actually got a poll running on Twitter right now at BFM Radio. Who should pay for COVID-19 testing? Your options: government, the employer, ourselves, and I don't know. And so let us know what you think over on Twitter. And we've got about 146 votes so far, and 74% saying the government. Let us know what you think. But right now, we're taking a look at Malaysia's GDP. The economy recorded growth in the first quarter, beating expectations of a contraction as COVID-19 pandemic took a toll on exports and domestic demand.
So GDP for the first quarter grew 0.7% from a year earlier, but better than the expected 1.5% decline. And this probably is due to the fact that the MCO only really kicked in on 18 March. And before that, people were stockpiling. And also, there was a Chinese New Year consumption effect.
Yeah, so this is the first quarter GDP grew 0.7%, but better than the forecast at 1.5% decline. I think we were seeing that's still below the 3.6% growth rate in the fourth quarter. And to help us break down and dissect these numbers further, we speak to Kun Goh, head of Asia Research at ANZ Bank. Kun, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Now, Malaysia's GDP weakened to positive 0.7% in the first quarter, but beating expectations. Were you surprised by this figure?
I was surprised by it. I was expecting, like everyone else, a contraction in Malaysia's Q1 GDP, although not as large as what the market consensus was. I think, as you alluded to earlier, part of that so-called resilience, if I can call that, is because the MCO really only impacted in the final 2 weeks of the quarter. So that has helped keep the numbers into positive territory. Essentially, January and February were pretty normal months in terms of the Malaysian economy. And that's because the COVID outbreak hasn't really had much of an impact. It was really only around March that we started to see the economy feeling the impacts. And of course, the last 2 weeks of that month was when the MCO kicked in, which effectively brought domestic demand to a halt.
I suppose what's scary will be the second quarter figures. So what are your expectations for that quarter?
I think no doubt this current quarter that we're in is going to see the full brunt of the COVID impact, not only from the MCO measures, which effectively took out pretty much a huge chunk of the quarter, but also the impact on the external sector, on the export sector, from the global lockdowns. So I'm anticipating a very ugly second quarter where the year-on-year will most definitely, I think I'm almost guaranteed, it will fall into a negative territory.
Yeah, Kun, what is your sense of the investment, corporate investment further out into the year? And I think more importantly also domestic consumption. What's your sense of those two barometers?
I think investment will be very, very weak. I think we are in an environment here where corporates will definitely not be undertaking any long-term or expensive investment projects given the level of uncertainty. And on top of that, given the low level of oil prices, Petronas and any oil-linked companies will definitely be shelving investment plans. There's simply no sense in making investments in this current environment. In terms of domestic demand, now obviously the MCO has crushed domestic demand. But once it's lifted, and already we've seen the conditional MCO kicking in, which has allowed more businesses to operate. So that will lead to some recovery in the domestic consumption. And as the MCO gradually eases off, then we'll see domestic demand start to pick up. That'll be the first in terms of the recovery. Investment, I think, will pretty much be the last to really see any recovery.
And that's the sense that we're getting from analysts, even for other markets. How effective would it be then for Bank Negara to cut interest rates, or what you are suggesting that there should be more fiscal measures?
Well, to deal with the impact of the pandemic, fiscal policy is really more vital and more effective than monetary policy. And that's because what we're dealing with is unprecedented. It's not really a financial market event. It's largely a health issue. And it's government response to the pandemic, which is things like lockdowns, which is having the real economic impact on activity. So fiscal policy plays a more important role by supporting jobs, supporting businesses that are impacted by it. Monetary policy plays more of a supporting role, if you like, cutting interest rates, as Bank Negara has done, cutting RRR, making some regulatory changes around loan payments, etc., do help. Don't get me wrong, but fiscal actually is the one that needs to do the majority of the heavy lifting.
Finance Minister Tunku Dato' Sri Zafrul has announced a short-term recovery, economic recovery plan from the government there. What are your thoughts on this?
The plans in Malaysia in terms of the fiscal, along with the packages that we've seen in the region, will be very helpful in ensuring that the recovery, once eventually takes hold, can be sustained. But it's not just the fiscal or the size of the package that is important. What's important is really that the outbreak in Malaysia is contained, and so far it looks that it has, with active case counts coming down, which will allow the MCO to be eventually lifted. But the recovery in Malaysia also depends on the external sector, what other countries are doing, how they are faring. And ultimately, while domestic demand, as I said earlier, will be the first to recover, how sustained and how strong the recovery is still depends on how the global outlook is faring. And at this stage, it's still not a very positive outlook. And that will hamper the extent of the recovery in Malaysia in the second half.
Yeah, I couldn't. Two questions. One, obviously, is the fiscal headroom for the country. I mean, other countries around the world have gone much nearer to zero rates than Malaysia, which has obviously got a lot more room to go. First of all, do you expect another rate cut from Negara this year? And secondly, do you expect the government to expand the stimulus program for, I think, the 10 billion ringgit special relief facility to the 50 billion ringgit that the SME Association wants?
So in terms of Bank Negara, I think they've already cut rates. And I wouldn't rule out further rate cuts. At this stage, I'm not expecting them to do that. Again, as I said, it's largely fiscal policy that needs to do more of the heavy lifting. In terms of the fiscal package, you can't rule anything out. I think we have seen not only in Malaysia, but in other countries as well, governments continually needing to fine-tune their fiscal package and increasingly announcing more and more measures to help the economy. So I think Malaysia is very much in the same camp. Obviously we've had several announcements, and this won't be the last. I think the Malaysian government and the finance minister will certainly need to continue to revise their fiscal plans. I think in this current environment, markets are very accommodative of fiscal largesse. I think markets are now sort of looking through large fiscal deficits because they're expected. And this allows a lot more fiscal headroom for countries to keep running large fiscal stimulus measures.
How much headroom does Malaysia have, though?
In terms of the ability to do that, as long as it's clear that it is a short-term measure, and once the worst of the outbreak is over and the recovery is underway, as long as the government outlines a plan of how they can start to undertake fiscal consolidation or start to repair their fiscal finances, I think that's the most important thing, rather than the size of the package for the time being. Because the truth of the matter is, if governments go too light on fiscal, that will create a much bigger economic hole, which will also impact on the fiscal position. So you end up with deteriorating finances anyway, but a worse-off economy and a much slower recovery. So I think it's much better to err on the side of caution, go big, go hard on the fiscal side, ensure and secure the recovery, and then later on work out how to start to rein in and repair the fiscal finances.
We've got about a minute, so very quickly, I know it's difficult to project now because the situation is quite fluid, but what's your best guess of the GDP forecast for second quarter for Malaysia?
I think for second quarter, the contraction will probably be for quarter on quarter, it'll probably be about 1% or even worse in terms of the contraction. So that will bring definitely the year-on-year rate down into a negative territory, maybe up to 2%. Of course, you know, huge degrees of uncertainty. But for the full year, I'm still anticipating the ability for Malaysia to stay in positive territory for the full year 2020, driven by a recovery in the second half.
Thank you for joining us on the line this morning, Kun. That was Kun Goh, head of Asia Research at ANZ Bank. Right now, we're going into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.